70 AM, The Zone. It's Wisconsin's most complete farm show. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, it looks like you rainfall reporters are going to get a chance to try your skills out today. How you doing, everybody? Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad to be along with you on another very comfortable start to a Wednesday morning. Today, though, we've got about a 44% chance of rain in the forecast. Showers should be done by about midday. So again, if it's not raining in your area right now, it may. 63 are expected high, overnight lows down to 38. Tomorrow, a little cooler, 53 are expected high. Friday, 48 are expected high, but it improves on the weekend. We'll find out what Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, has to say about that. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes.
Say, have you heard of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation? Yes, it's the grassroots organization of people just like you that care about keeping agriculture strong. By joining Farm Bureau, you also qualify for money-saving member benefits, like discounts on select Granger products and more. Get more details at WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance recently issued a special dividend to support their auto, home, farm, and business customers to help keep Wisconsin strong. This dividend will pay out over $5 million back to their policyholders. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
One thing we know, and hopefully we are certain of, there will be a live World Dairy Expo this year. The question is, where will it be held? Will it be in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center, or will it be someplace else? I guess COVID-19 is going to give us the final answer. And Josh, you talked to some people that are really involved in this issue.
Yeah, Bob, I talked with state lawmaker Travis Tranel. He is a farmer as well in Grant County, Cuba City to be exact. Josh Scramlin here at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And like you said, it was not all too long ago that World Dairy Expo said, listen, we're wanting to have the show in Madison, but at the same time, some COVID-19 restrictions that have been put on by the city of Madison and Dane County might make it difficult for us to have the show that we want to. So we're thinking about going somewhere else, but they haven't said where. And that is all that we know at this point in time. But Representative Tranel decided to write a letter to Governor Tony Evers saying that you need to do everything in your power to keep World Dairy Expo in America's Dairyland. And for Tranel and so many other in Wisconsin agriculture, Expo means so much more than just a few days of getting together at the Alliant Energy Center.
I heard it on the radio, and my first thought was, you got to be kidding me. And my second thought was, well, that's going to have long-lasting impacts that we might not even be thinking about right now. And my mind immediately went, if World Dairy Expo were to leave Madison or leave the state, there's no guarantee that it comes back the next year. And that's why I thought it was pretty imperative that we get on top of it right away and kind of raise the issue so people understand that we're not just talking about one year. There could be some very serious long-term consequences to letting this happen.
And let's give people some context on you and why you were the one that sent this letter. Not only are you a state lawmaker, but you're also a dairy farmer.
I tell people my real job, I'm a farmer. I've been in the legislature now for a decade, but my real job, the way I feed my family, is very much through farming.
So with that being said, and knowing that you're involved in the dairy industry, how would you explain the feeling that people have within agriculture towards Expo?
Well, I just think, especially for those of us from Wisconsin, we pride ourselves on being the dairy state. I mean, we put it on our license plates, for crying out loud. This is America's Dairyland. And so it's just natural and fitting that you have the World Dairy Expo in Madison. I mean, that just makes sense, right? That's the way it was ever since, you know, we were children, and just the opportunity to go there and see the vendors from not only across the country, but across the world. I just think that means so much to not only just Wisconsin dairy farmers, but everybody involved in the industry and everybody involved in agriculture. Even if you're not a dairy farmer, more and more we have so many people that have had to sell the cows, but they're still raising crops, they're still raising beef cattle. They still go to World Dairy Expo just because it's kind of a nostalgia for them. It's just part of what we do. It's part of our culture. And I just think we need to bring awareness to this issue before it's too late, because, again, this is just another one of those countless examples where people might not think that it's that big of a deal, but the long-term effects could be astronomical.
You took action. You sent a letter to Governor Evers about this, and in the letter, you implored him to do everything in his power to keep World Dairy Expo in Wisconsin. Tell me more about that letter.
Sure. Well, I'm from Grant County, Southwest Wisconsin. My district is 10 minutes Iowa, 10 minutes from Illinois. It takes me about an hour and a half to get to Madison. And when I'm in my own district, I always joke that, you know, I like Madison, but it's 40 acres surrounded by reality. My initial thought was, you know, well, maybe we should write a letter to the mayor or to the county exec of Dane County. But then, you know, that's going to fall on deaf ears, because unfortunately, it just doesn't seem like Madison and Dane County often operate in the same reality as the rest of the world. And so I thought, well, maybe if we write a letter to the governor and kind of just point out that, hey, we're watching this issue and we need you to lead on this issue, maybe that would give him a bit of a nudge and he can turn around and talk to some of these people that are in pretty influential leadership positions who might be more keen to listen to his opinion than they would be to mine. So I just think it's very important that everybody reaches out to the governor and say, hey, we're watching this and we expect you to lead on this issue. We know that you don't necessarily have the power to tell Dane County and to tell the city of Madison what to do, but you do have a lot of influence, and we are expecting you to use it in this situation.
State Representative Travis Tranel of Cuba City is along with me right now. You have delivered the letter to the governor. Have you heard anything back from him? Do you expect to hear anything back from him?
You know, that's a loaded question. Unfortunately, the communication between the governor's office and the legislature has really been lacking over the course of the past year. I don't know if your listeners have a chance to log on and view the letter. On the top of the letter, it says hand delivered. And the reality is, when we went to hand deliver that letter to his office, there was nobody there. I've been in Madison three times this week, have had over a handful of public hearings and committee work going on, and yet there's nobody physically working in the governor's office, which to me is kind of unexcusable, really. I mean, farmers have been working nonstop throughout COVID. The legislature is in the Capitol functioning, and yet there's nobody in the governor's office. So I wanted to put attempted hand delivery on the top of that letter since there was nobody there, but hopefully somebody comes in and reads it, or hopefully he hears about it, and hopefully he takes the issue seriously. Because, again, you know, there are examples. I'm sure you're aware, you know, they canceled the National Western in Denver last year. And because of that, Oklahoma City said, well, we'll start a Cattlemen's Congress. And now they're going to have that Cattlemen's Congress again in Oklahoma City in 2021. So the Western's not going to be what it used to be. So we are just really playing with fire if we even allow this conversation to move forward. And you're exactly right. Everybody knows it was not until the fall. The governor and the president are now telling us that they expect every adult to be able to receive a vaccine by early spring. May is what they're saying. If they want to get the vaccines, vaccination should be available. I mean, there's really no reason why we should be even having this conversation.
So like I said before, Expo is planning to stay in Madison, but if they can't, they are looking at other venues. And something that we've failed to talk about thus far is the economic impact that having Expo in Wisconsin has on not just Madison, but the state in general.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Madison lately, but when you walk around the square, it is sad. I mean, somebody should do a study, but I bet half to three-fourths of the businesses they're gone. And Dane County has got to realize that, you know, these businesses aren't just going to come back when you say, okay, it's time to start doing business. They have to be able to pay their bills, pay their mortgages, pay their employees. Farmers understand this. They run a business every day. But unfortunately, when you get more and more people in charge of your government that have absolutely no private sector experience, these things seem to go over their heads. So, yeah, we're not talking just about the dairy industry and just about ag, but look at the loss of revenue in terms of hotel, lodging, restaurants, even things like the airport. I mean, people flying in and out from 100 different countries to go to World Dairy Expo. It's a huge showcase for our entire state and does I think the economic impact is over $30 million just for that 1 week event. So yeah, I mean, it's well beyond ag, and it's just another example where, you know, people in Dane County and the city of Madison need to start operating in the real world.
Now, I am not in the business of speculating, but at the same time, it's just human to think about other places that the show could go. I'm sure that you've thought about other states Expo could head off to.
Yesterday, on my way home from Madison, and I mean, the Dakotas are expanding big time into dairy. I mean, any state that has anything to do with dairy is going to be interested in having the World Dairy Expo. And so the fact that they're soliciting proposals from outside communities should be very concerning, because any state that has a dairy industry at all, any state that has that understands the value of tourism and wants those visitors to come to their state is going to be all over this opportunity. And that's just something that we should squash right now and say, hey, we're going to be open for business. We're expecting everybody to be vaccinated by the fall. You know, for the last year of COVID's been really challenging, and thankfully there's light at the end of the tunnel. And we're confident by, you know, come end of August, early September, that this show is going to be able to go on like it always has.
You are a member of the Assembly Committee on Agriculture here in Wisconsin. Is there anything that you and your fellow lawmakers can do in your position to work on this issue?
Well, one thing, I've been in the legislature long enough to know that there's always options and always things that you can do. We haven't really looked into those too heavily yet. One thing I started researching, I'm sure you know, when the new dairy barns were built, there were some tax dollars that got invested into those. So, I mean, it's people beyond the city of Madison and beyond Dane County have a vested interest and an economic interest in making sure that those facilities are utilized. So there's always options, but hopefully we don't have, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that. Hopefully the governor sees the letter. Hopefully, people within the industry start making enough noise and are just as shocked and just as appalled that we're even having this conversation as you and I were, and hopefully we don't even have to go down that road.
Have you or do you plan to reach out to the people at World Dairy Expo?
I haven't reached out to them yet, but you know, certainly that's something that I would be willing to do. But then again, you know, I'm not the one that sets the health standards for Dane County or the city of Madison, so other than me begging them to stay, you know, I'm not so sure that would do a lot of good. I definitely want to get the message to them that we understand the importance of World Dairy Expo being in Wisconsin, even if the city of Madison and the county of Dane don't. But it's really not, you know, my call to make.
That is State Representative Travis Tranel of Cuba City in Grant County. He recently sent a letter to Governor Tony Evers imploring him to do everything in his power to keep World Dairy Expo in Wisconsin. We found out recently in a statement that World Dairy Expo is actively planning for the show to take place at Alliant Energy Center in Madison, but at the same time, they are exploring other venues in the case that COVID regulations put on them by local officials make it difficult to have the show. You can follow along and get the full story by going to MidwestFarmReport.com. And for the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Chris Collini with a dirty little secret.
Growing up, we were encouraged to track mud in the house. After all, dirt has been our family business for generations. Today, we rely on more than our boots to transport our nutrient-rich soils. We have bigger trucks and better equipment if you need it delivered. Or you can simply pick it up at our awesome dirt-filled processing plant.
Take it from a worm. Trust the guys who know good dirt.
Kalani Topsoil.
Now that's good dirt.
Being a member owner pays at Compure Financial. As a farm credit cooperative, Compure's member owners share in the profits. And this year, member owners will receive $197 million back in patronage. Learn more at compure.com/patronage. Compure Financial ACA is an equal credit opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. Patronage allocations, redemptions, and payments remains at the discretion of the board of directors based on a combination of factors including the risk in portfolio, earnings, and current capital position.
Chances are, you already know there are lots of good reasons to shop at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. The name brand products, big selection, and our knowledgeable associates. But one of the best reasons to shop at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, you'll save money every time you do. Right now, take $2 off NatureWise Chick Starter. Mana Pro Duck Starter Grower or Duck Layer Feed, your choice, $2 off. Stock up on AgriMaster IPA 3 Non-Medicated Calf Milk Replacer. Its premium protein blend is formulated to support the immune system. A 50-pound bag, just $59.99. And pick up a 36-inch by 50-foot roll of 16-gauge EconoFence by Maisel. It's $25.99. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is also your headquarters for bee and chick supplies. We carry everything you need to keep your flocks and hives happy and healthy. Plus, buy online at farmandfleet.com and pick up your items in our convenient drive-thru. You don't even need to get out of your car. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, depending on where you are this morning, you might already have seen a couple sprinkles. Let's talk about it. Time for your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Mock joining us. So if we are seeing rain, is it going to be measurable this morning, Stu?
It will eventually add up here during the day, Pam. I think for a lot of us, we're talking a tenth of an inch or two. Although La Crosse, Mauston, and especially up toward Eau Claire and that north central Wisconsin could be in the area where the rain gets a little heavier, especially far north central Wisconsin. Rain amounts, I'm talking, you know, up toward the UP where they're still trying to hang on to some snow. They could see some rain amounts up to a half inch or a bit more. There is a wind advisory this morning, believe it or not, just south of the Wisconsin border down into Illinois and just north of La Crosse, Buffalo, Trempealeau, Jackson counties, all under that wind advisory. It's windy all over, no doubt about that. And a front is trying to build in from the west just into northwest Wisconsin this morning. It only slowly heads east and southeast today, meaning rain. There could even be some thunderstorms along with all of this. And it does cool a bit here for the end of the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Everyone at the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board lives and breathes Wisconsin soybeans and can be your knowledgeable ally in the field and at home. With important grower alerts, timely production advice and industry news, and expert-generated grower research, we are the resource to help your crop and business thrive. Stay in the know and connect with the Wisconsin soybean community by finding Badger Bean on Facebook or by visiting badgerbean.com.
Boost agriculture production in 2021 by optimizing operations with Focus on Energy.
Focus on Energy partners with Wisconsin utilities to offer farmers the resources to identify energy efficiency upgrades and cash incentives to make it happen.
Get started today by contacting your energy advisor. Call 888-623-2146 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness to learn more.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, helping farmers grow since 2001.
All righty, Stu, give us that forecast. And it does sound like temperatures are going to be changing starting tomorrow.
They are. They start to turn the other way. In fact, this morning I heard that wind before I got out of bed, and I instantly was in winter thinking how cold it was outside. But our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast is for a mostly cloudy day. Could be a little patchy fog for a time. Certainly some rain, possibly a thunderstorm today, and a breezy day. We'll be in the low 60s with the south winds 10 to 20, gusting near 35. Mostly cloudy, rain, even a thunderstorm in the nighttime, tapering off a bit here by later in the nighttime, and skies may even clear somewhat. We drop to the upper 30s. The south winds 10 to 20, gusting to 35. All talk of rain ending tomorrow. In fact, skies become mostly sunny, but we hold in the low 50s with the west winds at 5 to 15. Sunny Friday, probably mid-40s with the northwest winds at 5 to 10. Like I say, Pam, eastern and southern Wisconsin, a couple of tenths of an inch. La Crosse and Mauston heading north could be up to a quarter, maybe a half inch, and maybe even heavier in the far northern part of the state.
Well, it'll help loosen up whatever frost remains in far northern Wisconsin and maybe encourage the grass to think about showing up sometime.
Rainfall, I think, is going to get us all thinking more about spring than the other way around.
Yeah, and then I hear next week it actually could take a drastic turn.
It could start to cool here later on, yeah, but we're in March. It's all short-term now.
That's true. All right, Stu, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stu Muck is our ag meteorologist, and that is your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Compere Financial, remember, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit compere.com. Wisconsin's Youth Council, getting involved in agriculture. Details coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Registration for Johnson Tractor's Planter Clinic is going on now. This clinic is catered to your situation based on your Case IH or Kemsey planter. Take classes on your own time and have access in the field once planting starts. Complete your class by March 31st and earn a reward on your next parts purchase. Look for the registration link at johnsontractor.com.
Johnson Tractor, from land to lawn.
No doubt about it. The best seat in the house is the one in your bathroom. The toilet is one of those things you never expect to act up or break down. But when it does, Benjamin Plumbing will have one of their capable service techs check things out. It could be something as simple as a float valve. Or it could be you're due for a brand new, comfy toilet. And not to worry, the majority of Benjamin Plumbing's residential repairs are more affordable than you might think. Plus, they stand by their work with a warranty on all parts, labor, and repairs. Temperamental toilet? Contact your friends at Benjamin Plumbing.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
You're well aware of these gigantic mortgage companies that make it seem as though they can do everything for you rather quickly, when in fact, you end up in a call center where everything is cumbersome and expensive. Learn about our local process at EducatedMortgage.com.
Educated Mortgage, the smartest way home. Call Dan, the mortgage man.
NMLS number 222652.
So Susan came over, and the first thing she says is, "This whole room looks completely different."
Okay, that wasn't the first thing Susan said. She gossiped about Linda, but I didn't get involved.
So I say, "Yes, the whole room."
I mean, if Susan is going to gossip, I'll give her something to gossip about.
And she goes, "I can't believe it."
Okay, truth bomb. All I did was add accessories from Lazy Boy.
So Susan unloads and says she could never do something so amazing. And I think to myself,
all right, maybe you exaggerated too much. Let her in on it.
Truth is, Susan, I went to Lazy Boy and picked up a few items. Their interior designers show you how an area rug here and a couple of side tables there can change a whole room. And she headed to Lazy Boy. She better not blab this to Linda.
Just a few accessories from Lazy Boy makes the difference. Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy home furnishings and decor, Madison. East Springs Drive near East Town Mall.
How is it that we can have smoker's lines without ever smoking?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Smokers or lip lines can occur not only because of smoking, but other factors, such as talking, drinking from a straw, genetics, and age-related fat loss. The most simple and effective treatment for this problem is a combination of dermal fillers such as Juvederm, which can smooth and fill those fine lines as well as hydrate the lips. Also, a neuromodulator such as Botox can be used in small amounts to relax those pursing muscles. At Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie, this treatment results in a natural, more youthful appearance of the mouth and often lasts a year or longer.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Huh. Nice. Hardwood floor. Or is it? Sounds like a floor. It's not squishy. That's good. Floors aren't supposed to squish. Goes wall to wall, like good floors do. And I'm walking all over it. Usually, a dead giveaway that it's a floor. But it's not a floor. This is a mattress. Charlie Heidel's for 52 days. People like Charlie are scattered all across Dane County. And because the need is there, so are we. This year, we'll supply nearly $400,000 in bedding, furniture, clothing, and household items to people like Charlie. Just one part of the more than $1.4 million in food, shelter, and other goods and services we provide. We're St. Vincent de Paul, helping our neighbors in need.
I saw an article or something from a blue check mark talking about how one of the most senior officials in the Big Ten was hired away as the head of officials for the SEC and took two of the Big Ten's top referees with him.
Yeah.
Now Bo Borowski gets big games and, it's...
Are you still under the belief, RJ, that if he's reffing the Thursday game for Wisconsin taking on either Nebraska or Penn State, that the Badgers should just walk off the court and forfeit?
I don't think he'll be reffing those games.
Dude, I would love for the Big Ten be like, yo, hey, Bo, hey, guess who you get on Thursday? Wisconsin.
Go shine.
Go show them what you do best, baby. Go blow that whistle until you're blue in the face. Okay, so let me ask both of you guys. Does the Big Ten tournament... Obviously, it matters if you're trying to, for seeding and play your way in if you're, a team on the bubble.
But
does it matter? If winning the Big Ten tournament, does it even matter anymore?
No.
It's all about March Madness.
We've seen it before where Wisconsin has been in the championship game, and it seemed as though they needed to make a run and their seed would improve. And you make it to the championship game, and you're still, improve. A 5 or 6 seed, and you're like, wait. Excuse me? No, the Big Ten championship game does not matter. It's too late.
I think it does. I think this year it actually does matter because you didn't have as many non-conference games where you got to play out of conference opponents. Obviously, the Badgers are also a team that we've talked about it over and over the last couple of weeks. They have no wins against teams that are clearly better than them, teams that were clearly ranked at the time, outside of Loyola Chicago, who is the only team that they have beaten that is ranked, and they weren't ranked at the time. So I think it actually would mean something if they said won the Big Ten tournament, because it means you'd have to probably go through either Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, Ohio State, or any number of those combinations to win.
You definitely would have to go through Iowa, because that would be your game if you beat Penn State.
I guess you'd have to beat Iowa, and then you'd have to beat other teams that are most likely ranked that you'll be playing.
Yeah,
I get your point on that. But I'm saying the grand scheme of things.
I really... No, historically, it has not.
Yeah, do we even care? Isn't it all
seeds have been set?
Isn't it all now on just March Madness?
We've seen teams lose in the quarters and.
But
semis.
I agree with you, Nelly. To your point,
this season
they need to get some string something
because,
together here.
Well, we're talking about them being a 9.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about them being a 4. Well, guess what happened in those couple weeks? You lost to every single team you played, and they all happened to be ranked ahead of you. I think a few wins might actually get them back to, say they beat Penn State and then they beat Iowa and then they, say they win at least 2 or 3 games in the Big Ten tournament. I think that could get them back up to a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But if they just go 1-1 or 0-1.
No, yeah, they're going to.
Hell, they'll be 8-9.
They'll be
8-9, 10.
9, yeah.
I think the only teams you're going to see possibly moving for the championship are your top 5 seeds.
Sure.
Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, and Ohio State.
Yeah, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Big Ten wins a national championship this year.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, there's so much talent.
There's
you got Michigan, you have Illinois.
You have 4 teams that are going to be top 2 seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan, Illinois, obviously the 1 seeds. You have Iowa and Ohio State, 2 seeds. What do you guys think, real quick before you break? I know at the end of the day, just like the Big Ten tournament, I guess it doesn't matter. Iowa retiring Luka Garza's number. Did you guys see that against the Badgers?
Yeah. I mean,
that dude's a baller, man. When it comes to college basketball, that guy balls hard.
Yeah. I believe you're the overall points leader in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2100 or whatever it was.
He's a stud, dude.
Yeah. He's had an amazing career. I mean, that's very deserving. It's nice you see that recognized right away.
Yep.
Rather than being like, let it marinate. We'll think about it for 5 years, and then
well, that's
we'll
like
let
the,
you know.
They retired Frank's jersey because I was in attendance at that game. That was super cool, and I think Frank Kaminsky is someone that was well deserving to have his number retired.
Now there are some other people
exactly
who need it too.
Yeah, I don't think they
in the history of this program, but we've seen it before. Articles on why it hasn't happened or things like that.
Yeah.
So I still think, you know, for springboarding Wisconsin to where they are right now, Michael Finley still needs
yes,
24 retired.
For sure.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Good chance you're going to experience a rain shower today, but the temperatures stay warm. 63 are expected high under partly sunny skies for a Wednesday. Tomorrow we drop down to 53. Friday, clouds and 48 degrees. I'm Pam Yonke. Now, from Landmark Services Cooperative Agri News Desk, here's what's happening on a Wednesday. So today, 10th day of March, on this day in 1876, the first telephone call is made. Alexander Graham Bell. And what did he say? Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. His assistant was Thomas Watson. He was right next door, but that was the first telephone call ever made on this day back in 1876. You think about that when you look at that cell phone this morning. Happy birthday to Mad Men actor John Hamm. He's 50. And holy potato bug, Chuck Norris's birthday today. He's 81 years. Congratulations on that. Well, let's focus in on another congratulations that's due. During the pandemic, the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council was launched. The goal? To try to make sure that young people understood the diversity of Wisconsin agriculture and the great career opportunities out there. Now they're getting ready to bring in a second round for the Youth Council. Josh Scramlin brings us the details.
Grace Atherton is a communications director at DACAP. And Grace, just to kind of back up a little bit, for people that don't remember what the Agriculture Youth Council is, how would you explain it?
Well, Josh, as anyone in agriculture can tell you, there are so many different career paths and opportunities in the industry, from farm management to product marketing to, you know, animal health, IT, so much more. So we created this Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council at the Department of Trade and Consumer Protection back in 2020 to encourage young people, specifically high school seniors across Wisconsin, to engage with state government, to help increase their awareness of how DACAP interacts with Wisconsin agriculture, and to help them access and understand some of those wide-ranging, varied career opportunities that are available to them across the agriculture industry.
I think the best thing about this council is that it's 15 kids from every single region of the state, and they all represent a very wide array of Wisconsin ag. So it wasn't just dairy kids, or it wasn't just 15 people from the same part of ag. There was a lot of diversity there.
Exactly. When we went through the applications and made the selections for the council this past year, we tried to get a really diverse group as much as we could to make sure that we had representation from different parts of the state geographically, but also different parts of the industry. We have some students that have grown up on a farm their entire lives that have really close contact with farm activities in their everyday lives. And we have other students who, you know, maybe their grandparents owned a farm and they remember going there when they were younger, but they haven't worked on the farm every day since then. But they're still interested and they're still involved. We have students that are interested in livestock production, and we have students that are more interested in the land and water resource management side of agriculture. So we really did get a great, really diverse group this year.
And you guys at DACAP being involved in this from day one, talking with these high school seniors all the time, sometimes you probably step back and say, wow, Wisconsin agriculture is in really good hands going forward.
It definitely is. It's great to sit down with the group each month, and it's very refreshing to see their enthusiasm and their interest in Wisconsin agriculture. And you know, we've always felt at DACAP that there is really a place for everyone in Wisconsin ag. There is something for everyone. No matter what your interest is related to the industry, there's a place for you. And we've seen that reflected in this group of students. And we think they're going to do great work in the industry moving forward.
All right, and then back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Applications for this year's Youth Council are now available. What do we need to know about that?
That's right. So for 2021 to 2022, we are looking again for 15 students. We will be aiming to include at least one member from each of these 9 council districts that we've created for this coming year, so that we can try and get, again, that geographical diversity across the state as much as we can. We also require that applicants will be a high school senior during the 2021 to 22 school year. And there's an application form on our website that students can fill out. It has them share their experience and skills. We'll have them write a brief essay to include as well. And then they can email that back to us at the email address listed on our website, as well as a 1-minute video explaining why they are interested in the council and what they think it will do to help them in their careers moving forward, and a letter of recommendation. So again, all that information is available on our website for people to look through and make sure that they're getting everything in. And those applications are due March 31st.
All right, perfect. I'll say it just one more time for emphasis. March 31st is the deadline to get your applications in if you want to be a member of the 2nd Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. That is something that the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection began last year. And if you are a high school senior or you know of a high school senior that you think fits the bill for this council, I would certainly encourage them to submit an application. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The Pioneer Agronomy Hour is happening Tuesday, March 16th, and it's something you don't want to miss. 3 local Pioneer field agronomists will be joining Pam Yonke for an update on all things that have to do with pest management in southern Wisconsin. To get a feel for what you're going to hear during the event, check out the Defend Your Yield from Pest in 2021 podcast series. Agronomist Will Wynn from southwest Wisconsin is going to provide tactics to manage corn rootworm.
So when it comes down to managing it, it just comes down to knowing your local population, utilizing the traits, and then if so, also utilizing an insecticide at planting and an insecticide during the season to help maximize your ROI and ensure that field is going to be a low risk for population the following year if it is going to corn.
The Pioneer Agronomy Hour is happening Tuesday, March 16th at 10 a.m., and you can register to attend that event and get the Zoom link by going to MidwestFarmReport.com. Protect this year's yields with the help of Pioneer.
Well, the World Ag Supply and Demand Report released yesterday by USDA was kind of a non-starter. Not much change in the numbers from the federal government. And the markets are looking at that a little negatively this morning. December corn's down 3 at 481. November beans down a dime right now at 1251. July wheat, that's down 7 cents, currently 641 a bushel. Barrel cheese dropped 0.75 cents yesterday to $1.50. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 1.75 cents at $1.75. Double A butter down 1.25 cents on Tuesday to $1.68 per pound. Quiet in overnight trade for milk. March milk closed a nickel stronger at $16.40 a hundredweight. April milk was up 14 cents at $17.89 a hundredweight.
Don't go anywhere. The Wisconsin Beef Council stops by the studio in just a moment, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, it helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As a contractor, time is money. At Advanced Concrete, we pride ourselves on excellent service, like being on time with your delivery, having prompt and experienced drivers. We think you'll agree, Advanced Concrete outperforms the other guys.
The concrete producing company, the contractors rely on.
producing concrete foundations to maintain concrete relationships.
Smog, garbage, sewers, car exhaust. Today's world puts our sense of smell on overload. Luckily, there are places we can go to refocus our senses. Our national wildlife refuges. When you visit, your nose will instantly recognize the purity of nature. Bask in the aromatic scent of the black pine trees blowing in the wind. Detect the sweet fragrance of primroses, wild violets, and blue sage. Smell the fresh salt water in the air as waves crash into rocky shoals. When you smell these things, you're smelling the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
It's Wisconsin's most complete farm show. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
And it's time again for Checkoff Chat, a conversation brought to you courtesy of your beef checkoff dollars, focused in on what you beef and dairy producers need to know about where your money's being spent for research, education, and promotion, and also our partners at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Barns. They're a proud sponsor of these Checkoff Chats and ask you to visit equitycoop.com for all your livestock marketing needs. You know, there's that spring in your step when the weather starts improving. People start thinking about maybe getting out there and doing more grilling, maybe just looking at things a little differently as far as meal lineup is concerned. Today on Checkoff Chat, we want to visit with Sarah Agna. She is the dietary and nutrition counseling specialist with Beef Council and focused in on some new research that's been done courtesy of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. This is something that is focused in on recent dietary guideline recommendations from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and other agencies. Sarah, how did you get brought into this conversation? What is NCBA paying attention to specifically?
Yeah, this has been something that's been on the radar with NCBA for the past couple of years. And what we're looking at is every bite counts, feeding beef to your baby. So it's a new concept. It's a new area of focus with NCBA. And the reason being that they're really focusing on it this year is because the new dietary guidelines, the 2020 dietary guidelines, just came out. And what they are recommending is introducing solid foods like beef to infants and toddlers in order to pack in every bite with protein, iron, zinc, and choline.
Boy, I sure can understand why they'd want to get the youngsters off to a positive start with those kinds of nutrients. But now I have to question, I wonder, is the beef industry ready to address the types of beef or how we get those little rascals to work in towards solid foods?
Yeah, definitely. And what we're looking at is beef being a complement to other foods, specifically breast milk. So we're looking up at about 6 months of age, introducing these alternative or, you know, other foods at that 6 months. And it's not, obviously, we're not feeding these six-month-year-olds a steak. You know, we're looking at pureed beef. And I know, I remember when I was little, I was eating pureed beef. You can find it in the aisles now. So if you don't feel comfortable making it on your own, definitely something like Gerber has those pureed proteins for your children.
Interesting. And, you know, we do forget that those are critical nutritious items, that protein, that iron, that zinc, all of that, so critical for children's development. What does it really mean to their bodies, Sarah, if we're sure that we're amping up those components?
You know, around 6 months of age, it is important to introduce nutrient-rich solid foods along with breast milk or formula. This introduction of first foods, also known as complementary foods, like I talked about before, provides babies with the opportunity to experience new tastes, textures, colors, and also teaches them to enjoy food. Foods like beef can provide babies with a good source of iron, zinc, choline, B vitamins, and protein, and can also provide them with a unique taste and texture experience. Plus, beef is a real food. I always, address that and force that be a real food. It's not a packaged processed food with, you know, 10 ingredients. It's one ingredient.
Right. Are you guys addressing that idea of somebody that wants to try to deal with pureed beef at home? Does beeftips.com or a website have some suggestions on, I guess we'd have to almost say, cautionary words on how you want to put that kind of homemade puree together?
Yeah, definitely. You can go to the beeftips.com webpage or the Beef It's What's for Dinner webpage, and it is on the forefront of both pages. You can find tons of information about the Every Bite Counts campaign and, you know, the different, I guess, at each month of the child, you know, process, you know, around 6 months we're using pureed. At 6 to 8 months, a lumpy textured food, 8 to 10 months, maybe shredded or chopped beef, and then 10 to 12 months, they can start transitioning to chopped family foods and practice with self-feeding using the spoon. So there is specific guidelines of what you should follow and also how you can make these pureed foods.
I thought they were only coming at it from a nutritional standpoint, but your point about texture and actual taste is something I hadn't thought about.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of good research and a lot of you know, information about those milestones in a child's life.
Now, what, have you heard any feedback? Has the Wisconsin Beef Council heard anything from consumers or anybody else since the Beef in the Early Years campaign was launched?
I haven't, and unfortunately, because a lot of my conferences, my health professional conferences are virtual, this is something that I would be promoting to the Wisconsin Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and also the public health conference that I go to every year. So hopefully I'll be able to get some feedback once these virtual conferences happen, because this is some of the information that I'll be providing these groups virtually.
Sarah Aganel along with us. She is the nutrition and dietary specialist with the Wisconsin Beef Council. This is Checkoff Chats. You know, we were talking off air, Sarah, about the schools starting to open up a little bit more as far as kids coming back, teachers on the priority list as far as vaccines. Are you getting an opportunity to go back in the classroom at all and share the message of beef?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not face-to-face, but I've had about four high schools so far that I've worked with in the past month to do virtual Beef in the Classroom presentations. So I'm not doing a cooking demo with them. We're just doing the presentation that includes information about the beef industry here in Wisconsin and also about beef nutrition. So hopefully next year I'll get to get back into the classrooms, because I absolutely love cooking with these students. They're so much fun.
Well, I got to believe that they have interesting questions, whether it's face-to-face or virtual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, definitely. They always have great questions. They're always engaged. And I love hearing from the students. It's just very, very unique. Their questions are great because, you know, the field of agriculture and where our food comes from can sometimes be confusing because there's so much misinformation out there.
Absolutely. Sarah, if people are listening and curious to find out more about this campaign, Beef in the Early Years, is there someplace where they can go and get some of their questions answered? Is there a website with that nutrition information specific?
Yep, you can go to the beeftips.com webpage, or you can also email me if anybody has any questions or concerns. You can find my information on the beeftips.com webpage when you go under the contact or meet staff. And you can definitely find me and certainly reach out.
Excellent. Good deal. Beef in the Early Years. That's what we're talking about. A brand new campaign launched by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Something to talk about, especially if you have youngsters in the house. Dietary guidelines suggesting solid foods like beef for infants and toddlers to pack that nutritional punch. You can find more, as Sarah said, at beeftips.com. We thank them for joining us today on Checkoff Chat, courtesy of your Checkoff Dollars, a conversation all about beef, research, nutrition, and education as well as promotion. And our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Barns, they're a proud sponsor of Checkoff Chats as well. Please remember to visit them at equitycoop.com for all your livestock marketing needs. And that, my friends, is Checkoff Chat with Sarah Agna from the Wisconsin Beef Council.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. This